This is Sunday morning, August the 12th, 2018, and I'm going to talk to you this morning a little bit about the office of the prophet. And I was just praying about it this morning. We'll see what happens, but I just kind of felt like the Lord put it in my heart. There'll be a time where you'll have a schooling of the prophets. It stands to reason, you know. Prophets used to be seem so few and far between because the church didn't understand the office of the prophet. They didn't acknowledge the office of the prophet. And so nobody knew anything, so they were just kind of just pushed aside, and they had to kind of operate on their own. I know. The system kicked me out. And I just felt like, you know, there's a lot more prophets than people know. There's as many prophets as there are pastors or teachers or, you know, apostles, evangelists. So I just want to bring a few things that I think will clarify some things to you about the office of the prophet, and you'll understand why I'm the way I am. Maybe give you a better understanding. And you might even see these own tendencies in your life. So just, you know, I just think these are really cool. This first one is 12 reasons God must isolate prophets. Why he has to isolate prophets. Now, a warning to pastors here. Pastors need to be careful not to come against prophets, because pastors tend to operate in the traditional. They're with the flock all the time. Their ministries are not too flamboyant. It's just day in, day out. The other four ministry gifts are a little more going out, and, you know, they get intimidated by prophetic. They don't know how to take them, which really I think they operate great together. That's why I think the Lord's put upon me the pastor, teacher, prophet ministry, simply because, and there's many others in the body of Christ that I didn't know about, that are doing the same thing, because you need the five working in the church. Anyway, they don't seem to understand, and there can be between the prophet and the pastor kind of a friction. I think that's why I think pastors are just a little intimidated and scared, because they don't realize, maybe they don't have the complete understanding of the office of the prophet and how it works. But the Lord said there's five that he's placed in the body, so they're supposed to work together. We've been talking about boundaries here. We've got ministries working within ministries. Okay. Pastors don't understand the isolation a lot of times. I know the church I started out in, they even recognized the prophetic in me. But they didn't really understand that we had to go either. God had to isolate me. He isolates his prophets to show his prophet what his plan is. See what I'm saying? The pastor says, well, you're just being a rebellious squirrel. You won't get committed and submitted. Well, that's hard for you to do for a prophet. Just go look in the Word of God at the prophets. They were always out there somewhere doing some weird thing God told them to do. So you can see where the pastoral office, because they're traditional. Well, if you don't get submitted, committed and submitted, if you don't come up through the ranks and do it the way we've always done it, then you can't be part of nothing. Have you experienced that? That's all I ever experienced. Come on now. Am I telling the truth? Yeah, okay. They must be allowed to be isolated, without being made to feel guilty because you're not there every time the door's open. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe you need to, you know, assemble together. But that's been put on people, and it's caused them to not be free to go where they need to go. It's kind of like last time we were at a local church, I kept having it, don't give them the whole tenth. Now, you talk about going against the pastors in this city. Boy, they'll fight you tooth and nail over that tithe. Lord said, don't give it all. He instructed me what to do. And I began to see all this stuff that we've learned, maybe it isn't quite right. Okay. These are the reasons of the isolation of the prophet. Empty the love of the world out of that messenger. That's materialism, love of the world. Empty them of all false pretense. Second, God isolates the messenger to strengthen their inner man. John had a wax strong message, it says, probably King James Version. He spoke to a religious system. Does that sound familiar? We're speaking to a religious system. God isolates the prophet from the current religious systems, the Pharisees and the Sadducees in John's day. Protection from doctrines or indoctrination and traditions of men. Prophets rarely get along with organized religious leaders. The prophets usually have to speak against their establishments. Now y'all can understand the message I bring. I was getting discouraged. I said, Lord, am I still on track? I'm not understanding this direction, this message. Now I do. Okay. God isolates the prophet so they can learn to discern his voice. Some prophets are seers. Now a prophet is a seer. A seer is also a prophet. They dream and they have open visions and reveal secrets like Daniel. Other prophets are hearers. That's me. I hear. It's like, I used to think this scripture I heard, I think it was Brother Hagin even say, well, if you, the Old Testament scripture says you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in, and when you turn to the left, turn to the right. He said, well, if you're hearing the Lord back here, if you missed it up here, you're not following. The Lord said, that's not what that scripture means. He said, my prophets hear. It's like I hear a voice. It's like an angel standing right here. I hear it. God spoke in Samuel's ear. Okay? To develop these ways, it takes time. It is a discipline so you are comfortable in your own skin. I used to think if I didn't have open visions, now I've had some spiritual visions and I've had some dreams, because the seer is more given to that. But I mainly hear. But I was made to believe if I didn't fit all that was said, well, you ain't. And you will hear a word, that was that scripture. God isolates the prophet so he can teach them to obey him even when it seems foolish. Now, just think over especially the Old Testament, the different things that God commanded the prophets to do. Elijah, go stay by the brook and a raven will bring you bread and fish or flesh in the morning and in the evening. I mean, just Jesus did some wacky things. Father said, okay, take the dirt, spit on it, make mud, put it on his eyes, tell him to go wash in the pool. Or Naaman, go tell him to dip 7 times in the Jordan. Well, we got better rivers where I live. Or fill them water pots with water and take it to the governor. Elijah didn't make sense, and he wasn't intellectual. This is part of the prophet's discipline, learning to obey the Lord in whatever he tells you to do, even if it's foolish. It appears foolish. He takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise with them. Them people knew there was water in them jars. To destroy any respect of persons, God wants you to love them all instead of, you know, not having respect to persons. I know we just revered the Word of Faith people, and the Lord's certainly torn down those walls for me. I still respect them for what they taught us. And we should respect our leaders, don't get me wrong. But he wants us to have the same, I love you as much as I love you as much as I love you, because we're just all vessels, okay? All right, to destroy any respect of persons, love them all, Your riches don't sway the prophet or your title. The prophet will speak to the one or the thousands. In other words, if Brother Copeland walked in and the Lord said, speak this word to him, you should be as free to speak the word to him as I speak a word to you. Okay? To completely depend on God's provision, like being fed by ravens. To fear no one. Since the Lord brought us into the house 4 years ago, I went from much afraid to pretty fiery sometimes. I quit being afraid of the establishment that had me so beat down. To fear no one and respect everyone. Not easily intimidated, not a victim's mentality for the prophet. There is no room for that. To impart his burden from God's heart. You're isolated. God will impart his burden on you. What's my burden? Set people free from the strongholds of their minds. If you don't know that, that's my burden. That's the one I carry. That's the one that keeps me on my knees, because everywhere you go, there are people in bondage. Okay, to impart his burden from God's heart. You lay down your life for the people. You literally lay your life down. To learn how to fight spiritual warfare. Essential. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. The most powerful weapon of the prophet is prayer and worship. Depend on God this way. Keep the baggage off this way. You'll walk in the land of milk and honey. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, if you will. He also isolates the messenger because he needs that message to be perfected. I basically have the same message that I started in 1994. Now I've had a lot more insight, but it's still the same message. But the Lord's perfected it. He told us that these years were dress rehearsals. It's also to prove the prophet's love for Jesus in taking up the mantle. Kind of like in the Bob Yandian book, Calling and Separation. Okay, did that make sense there? All right, this is, are you a prophet? You may think, well, maybe I am. I don't know. This is 26 signs you're called as a prophet of God. And I want you to note here, see, I was taught if you didn't do certain offices, didn't do certain miracles and stuff, you're not that. But it says Jonah or John never did any miracles or prophesied, really. The prophet is trained to bring reformation like John the Baptist. When I first started in this, the Lord said, you're like one crying in the wilderness. You're preparing the way for the Lord. This next big revival that's coming. Reformation. Prophets bring reformation. They bring reformation to the body of Christ. Correction and reformation. Your disposition will match your position. God will match it up. He'll prepare you and he'll get it together. You're there to turn the hearts back to the Father. Always. Okay. Here's 26 signs to gauge whether you think you might have the prophetic. You hate sin and not people. You grieve over your own sin. When you miss the mark, you usually don't have to rebuke a prophet because they are so sensitive to God. Sometimes you are accused of being mean. prophets pick up on stuff, and they're not trying to be mean, but sometimes they appear to be mean because they may come out with a rebuke. I've been accused of being mean. Daisy, yeah. You understand the consequences of sin, so you warn your fellow man to repent. You're always very aware of God's holiness. Always. Corruption in religion stirs the prophet's ministry. It's like special forces. Even the Lord's brought that out about special forces. They are trained to see it. They say what they see. They're trained to see that. Maybe this might help you. I know I've gone through a lot of pain in my life because of this call. It's kind of like Joseph. Look at the pain that Joseph went through for his brothers. Was he trying to be ugly? No, he was not. He was speaking what he was seeing. He was a given to dreams, so he was a seer, a prophet seer. So they nearly killed him over it. Falsely accused, thrown in prison. All of these things happened to him because of his call. But God had a big plan down at the end of that. You question all traditions to see if these are traditions that Jesus would follow. The last 4 years, the Lord has torn down a lot of traditional things that we learned. He really has. This promotes fights between prophets and pastors because pastors promote tradition most of the time. I talked about that earlier. You're not a follower and you usually get in trouble with your mouth. I know that's a biggie. You do not boast of your calling, you walk in your calling. No gloating. No lording it over, you know. You kind of hide, you know, kind of back. You find it difficult to hold your peace concerning God's standards. You're willing to lose friends, jobs, recognition when you know you must speak. It's like fire in your bones. I've lost friends. I've had the Lord directly tell me, they're pulling you down. They're compromising you. Get rid of them. You have no desire for this natural world. You're consumed with preaching and teaching to help and improve your fellow man. I can honestly say today, this life doesn't hold any sparkle for me. Now things are nice. What the Lord does is nice. I just want to get my job done and I just want to be with Him. That's the way I feel. You're skillful in handling the Word of God, not taught by man, not seeking seminaries, but alone with God, and they learn the Word. I wrote that, not seeking seminaries. It's not one sentence. You're skillful in handling the Word of God, not taught by man. It goes beyond what you can learn in a seminary. You're a thinker and creative in your thoughts and very resourceful, not afraid of change. That's what we have gone through consistently as change over the last 4 years. And the Lord, I would have to say the Lord is very creative. Anything I've ever watched on TV or seen in movies, sometimes He'll bring it up to me and lets me give an analogy. I remember when I was in Ohio, I was talking about, the Lord's like ragu sauce. It's in there, you know, or Prego. I don't remember which one it was. But it was like, the Lord will bring up stuff like that, but it's a practical application that people will understand because we've been raised on commercials and jingles. A take charge position, and you can be easily accused of taking over. Okay. Music is very important, and worship. Okay, when you exhort, teach, or preach, it always comes down to being holy. Stop sinning. Is that true? You think about Jesus and His sacrifice daily and sometimes constantly. He's always on your mind. Always. I never get away from it. Never. You are usually an outcast. You just don't fit in. Boy, that's one of the biggest ones for me. It hurts you to see people being taken advantage of in the church. Yeah, my righteous indignation flares up when I, oh, get out of that place, you know. Don't hang around, let them do that to you. You're constantly misunderstood and accused of being judgmental. I had that happen to me a few years ago with the friendship. Oh, man. I won't even go into it. You do it with righteous judgment, so don't let it offend you. In other words, don't let it be offended because people think you're judgmental. Okay? Many people confuse judgment with correction. Judgment is when you see something and won't say something. Correction is you see it and you say it. That's correction. Most of it is behind the scenes. People are talking behind your back and making judgments about you. They never say anything to your face. You're not a respecter of persons or easily intimidated by others, fame, money, or influence. You love to write. When you are focused, it flows right out of you. Some prophets are scribes and are very organized. That's me. I am absolutely a scribe. They write everything down. God speaks to you in riddles. Well, y'all can see that from what I bring forth. Jesus Christ's teachings and ministry is the center of your life. You love to look into the Word to find Jesus, even over human fellowship. I remember Kim Clement talking about he had his garden, and a certain time every day he met God in the garden. And if he was away, he said the Lord just entered the garden. He could sense it. As you mature in Christ, you find the region you are meant to speak to. See, the Lord begins to make your message clear. He gives you something to say, and it doesn't matter what you do. It's the same message, and you'll get it back and forth and every which way, maybe different ways. It's kind of like with me, the strongholds. The Lord will give me different, and let's look at me, give you different ways to be able to bring it, but it's the same message. Leaders and organized churches will not like or accept you. You deal with a lot of rejection because you're outspoken. What others seem to get away with, you cannot. I can't tell you how many times that we'd be asked to do things, especially when we were riding motorcycles, and I just got to where I couldn't go anymore because I found myself in compromising situations, and I was just like this. It was okay for them, and they didn't feel bad about it at all, but I went, and it just tore me up. Couldn't do it. Okay, you are very sensitive in your heart, but most people around you don't have a clue. So you pick up on everything, and that sometimes that's difficult. You're looking to build up others and restore them spiritually. Okay, I think I hit about all 26. Yeah.